Day 24. When a man takes Deuteronomy, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her. And he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house when she has departed from his house, and goes and becomes another man's wife. If the latter husband detests her, and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her, must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business, he shall be free at home 1 year, and bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. No man shall take the lower or the upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge. If a man is found kidnapping any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and mistreats him or sells him, then that kidnapper shall die, and you shall put away the evil from among you. Take heed in an outbreak of leprosy, that you carefully observe and do according to all that the priests the Levites shall teach you, just as I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt. When you lend your brother anything, you shall not go into his house to get his pledge, you shall stand outside, and the man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge out to you. And if the man is poor, you shall not keep his pledge overnight, you shall in any case return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down. That he may sleep in his own garment and bless you, and it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren, or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates. Each day you shall give him his wages and not let the sun go down on it, for he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord, and it be sin to you. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers, a person shall be put to death for his own sin. Who shall not pervert justice to the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there, therefore I command you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in your field, and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees you shall not go over the boughs again, it shall be for the stranger, the fatherless and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward, it shall be for the stranger, the fatherless and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, therefore I command you to do this thing. Deuteronomy 25, 1-4, NKJV. If there is a dispute between men, and they come to court, that the judges may judge them, and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, then it shall be. If the wicked man deserves to be beaten, that the judge will cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence according to his guilt, with a certain number of blows. 40 blows he may give him and no more, lest he should exceed this and beat him with many blows above these, and your brother be humiliated in your sight. Oh, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. UCG Bible Commentary, Deuteronomy 24 1-25 4 Law of Divorce, Various Laws. Divorce, concern for others mandated Moses because of the hardness of the hearts of the people. Allowed for divorce, although Christ later explained that, from the beginning it was not so. For converted Christians only a few valid reasons for divorce exist. Such as fraud before marriage, sexual immorality while married and desertion by an unconverted mate, compare Matthew 19:3-9, 1 Corinthians 7:12-15. Indeed in Matthew 19 Christ was apparently explaining that people had been applying even the words of Deuteronomy 24:1-4 far too liberally, taking the word uncleanness to mean anything the husband didn't like and allowing him to divorce his wife for virtually any reason at all. In fact, in Christ's day it was not even necessary to state a reason. A husband had only to tell his wife, "I divorce you," before witnesses. The same liberty was, in this corrupt tradition, not extended to wives. With this understanding, we can perhaps see how the certificate of divorce, while a concession to human weakness, could actually prove helpful to a wife whose husband wrongfully divorced her, allowing her to remarry and still be provided for, compare verse 2. Yet, if her next marriage ended in divorce or widowhood, the first husband was not permitted to take her back after she had become the wife of another man in the intervening time. This law is still valid today. Verses 6 and 10-13 demand mercy and compassion for a poor person who had to give a pledge or security for a debt. The creditor was not allowed to accept certain necessities as a pledge versus 617, and he was, in any event, to return whatever he had received from a poor person as a pledge before sunset. Verses 12 to 13. Further, he was not given the right to go into the poor person's house without permission to get the pledge, verse 10, thus preserving personal privacy and dignity. Although a poor person might find himself in a temporary financial predicament, he was still made in the image of God as a potential member of his very family, and thus was to be treated with respect. In the same context, an employer was to pay his employee his wages on time. In ancient times, employees or hired servants were paid daily. And God declares it to be sin not to do so, regardless of whether the employee was an Israelite or a foreigner. Verses. The principle is that employees be paid at mutually agreeable intervals. Verse 16 sets forth an important principle. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. We are all individually responsible for what we do. Parents must teach their children, but the children must choose. The same is true for converted children who can teach their unconverted parents God's way of life, but it is again the parents' responsibility to accept or reject the truth. Verses 19 to 22 address compassionate conduct again, this time of landowners towards the poor. Rather than greedily harvesting every last sheaf in the field, or every last grape or olive, God commanded generosity. Thus, some of the harvest was to be left for the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, i.e. the poor in the land, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. He reminds Israel that they too had been slaves in the land of Egypt, and how much they would have appreciated it if such a law had been in Egypt for them. See verse 22. Deuteronomy 25:1-3 demand justice in court. A wicked person is to be condemned, and a righteous person is to be acquitted. In ancient Israel, to inflict physical pain on a convicted criminal was not considered inhumane, cruel, or unusual. Rather, it was to satisfy the victim's demand for some sense of justice, to deter others from committing crime, and to reinforce to the criminal himself the fact that sin and crime brings pain and suffering. We might ask ourselves whether it is more humane to lock up a convicted criminal for months or years in a tiny cell, caging him like an animal. God saw to it, however, that the offender was not to be humiliated in the sight of Israel when he received the beating. The maximum number of blows could not exceed. Thus, rather than being inhumane, this law recognized the guilty person as a human being whose dignity should be preserved. In other nations, people were sometimes beaten with a lash or a rod to extract a confession, Acts 22:24. This was not allowed under God's code of law. Blows were to be used only to punish after guilt had been established. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy 25 teaches compassion for animals. An ox that works should be fed. Indeed, to restrain an animal from eating food is frustrating and torturous to the animal. Moreover, there is a practical benefit. To keep an ox engaged in its job of treading grain, it is best to allow it to eat the very grain it is treading. The principle even has practical applications in the human realm. Paul would later apply it to the ministry, who for their service should have their living expenses paid out of the tithes and offerings collected from the members and supporters of the church. Corinthians. This also allows them to devote more time to their ministerial responsibilities rather than an outside occupation.